Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Master, why is it that you are about to make yourself plain to us, but not to the world? Because a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught.
Thank you, Phyllis. Okay, well, I'm going to try to get us started here with the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost Sunday, and you guys may notice that I'm wearing my annual Pentecost shirt. It's the one day I wear this shirt. It's been around a while. The collar is even out of date, you know, and it's a little baggy, but why spend money when you got one that works, right? So I asked Phyllis to read the scripture from Eugene Peterson's The Message. And the reason I did was because I like the way that Peterson calls the Spirit our friend. God's going to send us a friend. Some translations say advocate. Some translations say, paraclete, which is a word for advocate. But I love the word friend because that's what the Holy Spirit is to me. So the next slide, if we look at this, we're going to talk about where we came from and where we are. We're in the farewell discourse of Jesus. Last week, Jim preached from John 17, which is the last chapter of the farewell discourse. And I thought, since we're in that, I'll preach from the lectionary passage that's in John 14, so we can see the bookends of this farewell discourse. It happens through John 14, 15, 16, and 17. John 14 it covers the whole many rooms. In my Father's house there's many rooms, and I go to prepare one for you. It also, then 15 has the vine and the branches. As long as you're in the vine and you're going to be fed, right? The Holy Spirit is in chapter 16. There's this wonderful part of Jesus talking about persecution, but the sadness turns to joy. And then in 17, it's the high priestly prayer. And this is where Jim was last week. And my favorite part about the high priestly prayer is exactly what Jim preached on last week, the unity of the body. The unity of the body because God is in Jesus. Jesus is in us, and we're in them. And there's this invitation, not very subtle invitation, actually. It's an invitation for us to join in with the Trinity. We're not becoming divine like the Trinity, but we're being invited to be in the Trinity and have them in us. Next slide. So we're going to break the passage today down into a few bullet points. So basically, we're doing John 14, 15 through 17 first. And in here, Jesus talks about commands and loves. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. Okay, so what are Jesus' commands? If we're going to keep them, we need to know what they are, right? Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, gives many, many, several dozen recommendations on how to live a righteous life. Jesus only gives one command that he calls a command. And that's this, that you should love one another as I have loved you. He doesn't stop there. He tells us why. Love one another as I have loved you. By this, they will know you are my disciples. By this, people in the world will know that we follow Jesus. It's not just a command. It's a command, and this is why. This is why you need to do this. Because we are supposed to show the world our light. And the way we show that light is by loving the unlovable. Loving our enemies. Praying for people who we don't really like and even those we disagree with. Politically, doctrinally, you name it. This is the kind of example that we're supposed to set for the world. So Jesus says, keep my command. Love one another as I've loved you. And then I'll ask the Father and he will give you an advocate here in the reading that Phyllis did, his friend. And that friend is the Spirit of Truth. God's going to send the Spirit of Truth on Pentecost. Jesus is foretelling the Pentecost story here. And then he talks about the world versus the disciples. He says in Scripture that I will not leave you orphans. He goes on to say that the world cannot accept him, the Spirit, because they neither see him or know him. If you're looking for a battery for a flashlight, you need to know what the battery looks like. If you don't know what the battery looks like, you can't find it to put it into the end of the flashlight. And what Jesus is telling his disciples here is that the world, there are people in the world who are unwilling to see the Spirit because they don't know the Spirit. Whose job is it to inform them about the Spirit? Say it. Our job. It's our job to inform them about the Spirit so that they can know what they're looking for. Describe the battery to them so they know what to look for. Next slide. In 14, 18 through 20, Jesus gives us a reassurance. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. We live through Jesus. Our lives should be reflective of living through Jesus by doing what? Following his commands. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The unity of in. Next slide. Oh, that white didn't come out very good. I'll read it. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is from John 17, the bookend of the discourse. So in the front part of this discourse, this farewell discourse, Jesus is talking about everybody being in everybody. And at the end, he's talking about everybody being in everybody. It's a unity of being in each other. And he says, once again, it's not just a commandment or a request. He gives us the reason why. May they also be in us so, read that with me, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So why should we act like Jesus asked us to act? So that the world may believe. It's up to us, folks. It's up to us to have this unity of in, this unity of the body, this unity with God and with Jesus, so that the world will know that God sent Jesus for the redemption of the world. Next slide. He continues in 21 through 24. Commands of love again. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Commands and love again. And then he talks about the world and disciples again. I love this, 11 line 22. Then Judas, not Iscariot, because this is happening immediately after Judas Iscariot left the upper room. So John's making it clear that it wasn't Iscariot. He's already gone. Asked this question, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And it's not the intention of Jesus not to be clear to the world. It's just many in the world aren't open to the idea of loving the unlovable. Many people in the world aren't open to the idea of praying for your enemy. Many people in the world aren't open to the idea of being humble enough to not point fingers at each other and say, I'm right, therefore you're wrong. So there are people in this world whose egos won't allow them to see the miraculous power of Jesus. Jesus once again says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. Love each other as Jesus loved us. By this, they'll know that we're his disciples. And then here, the Trinity moves in. I love this part. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. It's going to move into your heart. The Holy Spirit's going to infuse you. The Holy Spirit's going to come to you and let you, it's going to remind you of the teachings of Jesus. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, if you let the Holy Spirit dictate your life, give in to God, give up to Christ, let the Holy Spirit rule, you're going to love like you've never been able to love before. Because it's not your love, it's the love of God coming through you. Next slide. In Corinthians, Paul tells us, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Think about this for a second. The Holy Spirit lives in you. If that doesn't make your mind kind of go, I don't know what would. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. God is in you. And we are in God, and we've been invited into that Trinity. We've been invited to participate with the Godhead in building the kingdom here on earth. That's a pretty big responsibility. Next slide. So then he goes on in 25 through 27 to describe the Holy Spirit's purpose. And that purpose is the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Friend, as Eugene Peterson said, will come and teach you the things that he said and remind you of everything. So the Holy Spirit is then here to be our moral compass, sort of, to guide us, to remind us what Jesus said, to keep us on the path. The Holy Spirit is our direction finder when it comes to following Jesus. If you have the opportunity to deny yourself and follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to make it pretty clear what you need to do to follow Jesus and deny yourself. If you're faced with a choice, a decision, and you pray in the name of the Father, and you ask the Spirit to guide you, the Spirit is there to help. He's our friend. That's why I chose that translation, because I love that the Spirit is our friend. And the purpose of this chapter, Jesus wraps it up. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace," Jesus' peace, "I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives," because the world is stingy, folks. If you've been living in the world very long, you know the world is not the friendliest place to be in. But in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the Spirit, in the presence of the Father, we don't have to be afraid. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." If you were here during the Advent season, I talked a lot about Jesus saying, never saying to us that being a Christian was going to make us a better person. It wasn't going to make you a better father, a better mother, a better husband, worker, whatever. It might be a side effect of it. The one thing he promises to his disciples is, when you are dragged before kings and governors and you are beaten and arrested and told to give witness on my behalf, don't be afraid. We don't have to fear if we trust in God. Amen?